Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Well, good morning, friends. How are we just doing this morning? Okay. Nice. So this morning, I want you, if you're brand new, you're a guest here, if you're joining us online, welcome. We're in the summer edition of Mosaic, so where people are traveling. I know my family's traveling as well. A lot of you guys are. You guys are joining us online as well. Probably Ashley's on the chat. Say hello. But it's really good because this summer, what we're doing is we're just not doing a series of talks. Like, we're not doing like one subject. We're doing different ideas, okay? And so this morning, I want you to reconsider, okay? So help me out. What did I just say? I want you to what? Reconsider. So why don't you do something? Why don't you maybe think about maybe the person next to you, maybe you want to tell them that, or you want to text someone or say something. Hey, you might want to reconsider. Let's do that. Can you do that? Turn to your neighbor and say, could you reconsider? Now, for some of you, you're like, this is the Lord right here, because this is exactly what I need. Like, you're like, this is God right now, because I really want you to reconsider. Because you guys had a conversation, you're like, I want you to reconsider. I want you to reconsider. Okay, so why do I want to talk about that? The idea of reconsider is to rethink. So I want you to rethink about your thoughts. Rethink. So this past week, I was talking to Pastor Kristen, actually, and we're talking about just growing up and the things we did to entertain ourselves when we were little. Okay, you remember the things you did? Okay, at this time, like, I remember, like, growing up, and we didn't grow up with pools, you know what I'm saying? Like, swimming. I was with a buddy of mine. He's from Afghanistan, and if you don't know, I'm from Pakistan. So anyways, I grew up in Kuwait. Anyways, we grew up in the desert. And all that being said, we did not learn how to swim. Right. It's not a thing. It's like some people will look at us, and they're like, you don't know how to swim? You're an adult. I'm like, you don't know how to be nice. You're an adult. You know what I'm saying? Like what? So I was teaching him how to swim, you know? And I thought, you know what? We all grew up with certain things. Like, for example, some of you grew up with pets, right? Make some noise if you did. Okay? Others of you, you did not. And I was sharing with Pastor Kristen a little really tender moment, and she made fun of me. But anyways, I was, like, talking about, like, how I grew up in the desert, and it was just desert. And I remember having a pet beetle. Okay, stop, Jeff. Okay? What? Yeah, don't feel sorry for me, first of all. It wasn't awesome. She was like, you had a pet beetle? Like a bug? I'm like, first of all, it wasn't a bug. It was a beetle. They're smart. And this thing was come out of the dirt, and I would... Okay, you guys are like, this is really bad, right? Whatever. It was awesome. My childhood was great, okay? But I remember I would lie down in the dirt, okay? This is the Middle East, okay? So imagine, okay? I'm in the dirt, like, talking to this beetle. And I, stop, what are you doing, bro? I'm just joking. He's a buddy of mine. But I'm like, what are you thinking today? Like, what's happening with you today? And he'll go in his little hole and come out. And I'm like, oh, I'll be so fascinated by it. And you're like, what's happening? You know what's funny, though, is it's like, I thought that beetle had personality, and I thought that the beetle had thoughts, like could think. Now, do bugs think? Do insects think? You're like, this is a trick question. You're like, let me think about that. Some of you have an opinion, but let me help you consider. Now, there's some studies that have come out that there's certain insects that actually think. And I don't know exactly. They're probably not thinking about the politics, you know what I'm saying, of the culture and the age and all that. They're not talking about social justice, I'm sure. But they have these thoughts. Now, what's interesting about that is that as I was thinking about that, I thought, man, I have so many thoughts. How many thoughts do you think you have? Too many, right? Actually, studies have said you have about 60,000 thoughts. 60,000 thoughts a day. Now, about 95% are repetitive, the same thing. But what's interesting, some stats would say that about 70% of them are negative thoughts. Like you and I have negative thoughts. Like if I were to ask you how many negative thoughts that you have today, this morning, you're like, how many? 2, 3, 4, 5? You're having a negative thought right now. they're like, this was a bad choice. What are we doing here? Like, what? What's happening? Now, interestingly enough is that, you know, besides bugs, do bugs think? You think, and it affects you. Your life is affected by the way you think and what you think and what you consider or don't reconsider. So let me put up a quote here. This is a Stoic philosopher, and I want to see if this is true for us, okay? Let's put this up, okay? So it says here, what? The happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your, what? Thoughts. Do we agree? You're like, okay, yeah, I think it's true. It's true. Now, what's interesting about it is that for so many of us, we're like, okay, what does it have to do with my relationship with God? Like some of you guys are like, how is this connected to my life right now? Because the truth is, I mean, we're not here this morning to just think about our thoughts or think about how we can have a better life. I mean, maybe that's true, but for so many of us, what we really need is God to move in our lives. And so often what we don't realize is that God wants to move in your life and he wants to speak to you, but he actually wants to change the way you think about certain things. He wants you to have a different perspective. He wants you to rethink about this problem that you seem to be stuck in. He wants you to reconsider how much he is in your life, how much he loves you, how much he wants to speak to you. He wants you to reconsider these things. Because for so many of us, we have all these thoughts and we don't realize them. We don't regulate them. And we don't understand how much they affect us. See, for so many of us, our spirituality is taken hostage by our minds, by just our thoughts. That's it. You have thought something about God and you are not willing to reconsider. You have constructed a narrative in your mind about who he is and what God is and what church looks like and what church people look like. And it's so hard for you to break through. Some of you are not here this morning and you're watching online because something happened in the last couple of years, and now you can't walk into a church building without having some kind of response that's really negative. All that has to do with our minds. And so the reason why I'm so passionate about this is that I want you to reconsider, I want you to think about the way you think and how much does it really affect your relationships, your quality of life, your spirituality, your relationship with God, your ability to hear from him. It all matters. And for some of us, I think we're in a place and we were led there, not by other people, not by what's happened in our life, but how we have thought our way into our reality right now. And I want you to reconsider to get out of that. The good thing about our brain is that we have all these thoughts, but we can change our minds. There's a fancy word. I was like, you know what? I think I can say this word, but those of you who don't know, English is my second language. And so there are some words I just can't say. All right. So what I thought is, let me ask you guys to help me say it. Can we do that? Okay. So I don't say it and you're like, this guy doesn't know how to read. You know what? That's another story. Anyways, let's see. Let's go. Okay. Let's put that word up here. Can we put that word up here? What is this word? Neuroplasticity. Plasticity. Neuro what? Yeah, that's it. That's the word. And basically the big idea here is your brain has the power to change And I want you to know that if you're stuck in a negative frame of mind, you can change. And you're not too far, because if you keep going the way you are, you might just slip and end up somewhere you don't want to be. So let's do this. I want us to look at a passage of scripture. Now, this is in the book of Psalms. And Psalms are interesting because they're songs. And so in particular, I want to talk about this worship leader. This guy who's like not really famous. You've got your favorite worship leaders, you've got your favorite ones, but this guy, no one has heard of. Now, the Psalms, usually people say, you know what, I think David, King David wrote most of them, which he did. But there are about 12 of them that are tribute to a guy named Asaph. Can you say that? A guy named what? Asaph. He's a worship leader, okay? He wrote 12 of these songs, and one in particular today is one I want to jump into. So we're going to get into that. If you got scriptures, you can do that. We're going to put the first one up there on the screen for you. All right, let's jump in. Okay, this is Psalm 73, and it says this, okay? This is the last one. Let's put the first one up. Tammy, let's do that. Okay, as for me, I almost lost my footing. It says here that my feet were slipping and I was almost gone, for I what? Envied the proud when I saw them what? Prosper. Can you relate? Can you relate? Can you relate? Let's keep on going. It says, let's see here. I'm not quite sure, Tammy, what's going on here. Let me read this. Okay. They seem to live such painless lives. I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. Sorry, my bad. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like what? Other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. Can you relate? Is there someone in your life you envy? Maybe it's a family member. It usually is sometimes, right? It's like, oh, what about, what's wrong with them? Have you ever thought about like, why do terrible things happen to really good people? And it seems like the rich are like just living life. And if you buy into the narrative of social media, if you actually believe that the lives that people portray on social media are true lives, then you think that the rich, the people with influence are just living their best life. By the way, everybody's living their best life on social media. Everybody is living their best life. It is not their real life. It is just their best life. It's just their best life. Okay, is there a filtered life? Is there an amazing life? Oh, it's a great life. I was having a conversation with a guy today. He was talking about the other day, and just talking about stuff that's going on in his life and the business that he works for and the things that they need to portray on social media. And it's the opposite, but that's how it goes. But we envy the proud. But here, this worship leader is saying, you know what? I almost slipped though. I almost slipped. What do you mean you almost slipped? He's like, I started going down a path. I started thinking some things. I started looking around, seeing some things, feeling some things. And I actually started believing those things. I started doing that. And see, when you look at someone's marriage and you go, you know what about that? Why can't I have that? When you look at someone else's just schedule, you're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? I have friends that because of what they do and where they work, they're able to just live abroad for a month. Sign me up. I'm like, what can I? I'm like, can I do church? Can I? I'm like, put me on a screen. I'll just talk to you from Cabo. It'll be all good. All good. But you look at people's lives, you go, ah. So what is he saying here? He's basically saying is I realized something. He started to reconsider. He said, I almost slipped. I started looking around. What he said basically is this. He said, everything I heard, I realized is just an opinion. It's not fact. Did you know that? Everything you hear is an opinion. It's not fact. It's not necessarily fact. Everything you see is a perspective. It is not reality. You're like, oh, because for some of us, all we see is gloom and doom. All we see is the pain. Yeah, it's a perspective, but it's not reality. Everything you feel is real, but it's not right. You're like, what? No, it's real. It's real. But it's not right. It's not necessarily right. Because I feel all kinds of things for all kinds of things and people. It's not necessarily right. Oh, well, how about this? Everything you think is a thought. It is not truth. It's not. And some of us need to be liberated unless we do what he said. My feet were almost slipping. I was almost gone. Almost gone. Then he keeps on going. Let's look at his lyrics. And this is his psalms are extremely vulnerable. Another passage, another couple of verses, 13 and 14, he says, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me what? Have you ever had that thought? Like, why did I do this? Like, why did I say yes to that? Why did I stay loyal? Why did I give this person a whole decade of my life? Why did I not just go for it and do the things I wanted to? Why did I do the right thing? I know it was the right thing, but why did I do this? See, the problem is that our thoughts of comparison come in, but then the thoughts of regret follow along. They just go, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I marry this person? Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? And it's not about the past. It could be about the last hour. Why did I say that? Have you ever started a conversation? You're like, can I start all over again? Can I just start all over? What did I just say? What did I just do? Can I just stop? Why did I do that? How many of us have done that? And here the guy goes, hey, I kind of slipped and I started with comparing myself to other people, looking around, seeing everything, and I believed it as truth, as reality, as right, as a fact, and I was slipping. And then I got into myself and I go, why? Why did I do this? Why did I do this? So what happens? Well, he goes in into himself and he goes, there's so much in me. So much in me. But then, verse 17, something happens, he says. He says, then I went into, help me out, into what? Your sanctuary, O God. I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. He said, then I went in. Like I had a moment in where I was struggling with so many of my thoughts and I could go a certain way, but I did not slip. I almost slipped. But what I did was I went into the sanctuary. Like I went in to meet with you. And so often, I don't know about you, but like when I'm in pain, I just want to numb the what? Pain. I want to cope. I don't want to process it. I want to just make it go away. And he says, I chose to go into the sanctuary. I chose to go back to you. And so I don't know about you, but there's so many of us that have had friends that maybe even you're one of them and you found yourself in a place a couple of years ago going, all these things are happening, all these thoughts are happening. I mean, we went through a global pandemic, my friends. Like, we were going through trauma together, all of us. And something happened. We started thinking some thoughts and some of us chose to go somewhere else after the pandemic. And you have friends and family. They didn't go into the sanctuary. They went into something else. They looked for something else to give them an idea of what was happening. And then we know people who walked out of that pandemic and they are extremely different. Their thoughts, like, have you ever had this? I know we've had this thought. Are people going mad? You look at the news and like, are we losing our minds? Like, what is happening to humanity? And so I wonder if Asaph was like, you know what? I almost slipped and I went into the sanctuary, but what if I hadn't gone in? What if I had not gone in the sanctuary? What if you not gone in? See, I want you to know that what you are choosing to do here in this moment, either online or in person, you are choosing to go into the sanctuary. You're choosing something, and you should be proud of the fact that you chose this. Like, good on you. In spite of all these thoughts, I'm walking in. And so many of us, you walk in, you're like, I'm not even expecting anything. All I know is I need to be here. I just need to be here. And I want to tell you, it's good. It's good that you're here. You're like, Naeem, but things haven't changed. I get it. But it's good to just walk into the sanctuary. Because it's not that I'm going to say something that'll change your mind. It's not like the band's going to give it all, which they do, man. Our band gives it all. It's because God wants you to have a moment with Him. Because He knows that He, more than anybody else, can give you the power to reconsider, to relook, for you to see something you never saw before, for you to hear something you never heard before, for you to feel something you never felt before. But you just walk in. So I'm glad you walked in. You walked in. And then what happens? Then this worship leader goes, and this here's what happened. He says, then I realized that my heart was what? It was bitter. I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish, arrogant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet, can you say yet? Yes. Yet, I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. He's like, I walked in and I started feeling some things. I started realizing, man, what are you doing? Well, how are you acting? Why are you doing? You know, we talk about, right? Humanity loves idea of like, hey, let's party. Let's get what? Wild. Let's just go what? Crazy. And why are we doing that? We're doing that to forget. We're doing that to numb. We're doing that because the negative voices are so much. We just think that if we can just turn up the music louder and numb the senses and drink more, we can just quiet the voices. And here he's like, no, I went to the sanctuary and then I found out I am not okay. I'm not okay. I'm not okay. You know, it's okay to be not okay. It's okay to say, you know what? I'm not good right now. I'm not good right now. He was like, I'm not good. I realized I was bitter. What are you bitter about? I was bitter about everything. Everything. Have you noticed the bitterness starts with one person and this just goes everywhere? It's like you're mad at someone or bitter and now the food's bad. You know what I'm saying? The food's bad. Like, have you realized that when you're mad, like even putting gas in your car is annoying? I'm like, work for the love, work. What's going on? Like everything is just, you're just bitter. He says, I'm bitter, bitter. He says, but you're here. You're here. And then he says this, which is a perspective that I want you to get to. He says this, and I love, this is my most famous verse, I would say, in all of scriptures. He says, whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health, it may fail, but my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine, what? Forever. He's basically saying that there's a God out there who loves us so much, that knows our thoughts and knows what we struggle with. He knows that positive thoughts, right? They don't stick to us. They should. They slip off of us, right? They just slip. But negative thoughts, they just stick like Velcro. They just stick to us. He knows that some of us have thoughts that are so evil that you begin to think you are evil. Some of us have such insecurity that we wrestle with. And those thoughts become us. And then we have become very insecure people. There are thoughts of coping and doing some things that are just honestly sinful, meaning they violate everything that you even stand for. But you want to do them, or you are thinking about them. And God says, hey, I still hold you. You still belong to me. You still belong to me. Asaph is going, you know what? I struggle with all this. I'm dealing with all this, but I know there's only one person in all of the universe who has me, and it's you. It's you, God. It's you. So I don't know about you, but if for some of us who are struggling with so much anxiety, so much of the future, so much of what is going to happen next, what if today, this moment, maybe at the end of the service, as we sing our last song, what if you said, God, I want to walk into this sanctuary. I want to walk into this moment with you. I want you to help me rethink what I've been thinking and feeling and seeing and hearing. I want to change. Not, I don't want anything else to change. I just want me and my perspective and I want to reconsider the thoughts that I am having, God. What would happen? I want to read you one last verse and I'll pray for us. I love this. Psalm 73, the last one, he says, but as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. So friends, what do you think about God? What do you think God thinks about you? Can I just tell you? God has good thoughts about you. Not negative ones. Not, I wish she was better. I wish he would finally get his act together. I wish this. God thinks about you, and we think about God. Problem is that today we might want to reconsider the negative thoughts that we think about God, about us, of our relationship with God, and about our life. It is good to be near God. It is good. So what do we do? Have a honest resolve today. Have a honest resolve to reconsider. That's what I'm asking you. Just have an honest resolve. An honest resolve means that I'm going to be vulnerable and open and honest about the things that I'm thinking. And then a resolve, like in spite of all the things I am thinking, in spite of all the things that look great to me, in spite of all the things I want to do or have done, in spite of all that, I'm going to choose to walk in to the sanctuary. I'm going to choose to be near God today. And friends, He has the power to transform your life. He does. He's wired you up that way. And you and I can change. We are not beyond help. God is with us. God is with you. So let me pray for you. Can I do that? Let's stand together. God, I thank you for these moments where we come, we sit. God, I thank you for these friends of mine who come and listen to me. But God, I know they're not just listening to me. They know that then when we're together and we talk about you, that there's something that they need to hear because you're speaking to them individually. God, I know that people, when they tune in and they're watching, God, their decision, their resolve to do the right thing, to walk into the sanctuary, to be near God. God, it changes everything. God, your presence is powerful. And God, if I just pray that though our thoughts might take us away from you at times, Today, I pray that our proximity grows smaller, shorter. That we would not think that you are a God who's far off. That you are a God who does not understand, who's not with us, who doesn't care, who's too busy, who doesn't see. God, I pray that we would be transformed, like the scriptures say, be transformed by the renewing, the rethinking of our minds. In Jesus' name. God, I pray that as we respond and go to the cross or go to communion and light a candle, when we take communion, we begin to reconsider. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.